Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Your home for everything Melodifestivalen. This is Melfest Monday. Nu kör vi!
Hello and welcome to Melfest Monday from us here at the Eurotrip. It's great to have you with us now that all 5 heats are done and dusted and in the history books. 2 more artists bagged a place in the final on Saturday night. 2 got a ticket to the new look Fionnuala Kvalit, and boy oh boy is there a lot to discuss from that. But can you see the light in the distance? Our 12 artists, our 12 heroes are calling as the Melfest final is less than a week away. Are you excited? Because I'm not. Oh man, I'm an awful liar, aren't I? I'm always excited for a Melfest final. I'm certain it'll be another unforgettable show. And what a rollercoaster ride we've been on during the heats. I've been begging SVT to give my heart a break because the drama has been off the scale. But it is almost time to strap in for the final in Stockholm, back to its roots in the capital of Sweden. But I'll be here, back to my roots, getting you up to speed ahead of the show. If you asked me, I'd say it's not easy to write a love song, or even any song for that matter, but the plethora of songwriters and artists in the final, they just make it all look so effortless. We'll all miss it when it's finished and off our screens. Hopefully you miss me too when I'm gone and Melfest Monday is done for another year. But as always, I'm happy that you found me and I hope you'll be tuned in for the next 60 minutes or so. Hopefully it won't drag on too much. We've got 2 experts joining us today to help us figure out what will happen in the final, but que sera, we'll probably have to wait until the show to see how it all pans out. There's plenty to discuss. We've got the Melfest Monday Hall of Fame and 2 of this year's finalists will be stopping by for a chat as well.
When you aren't listening, find us on social media. At Eurotour Podcast on Twitter and Instagram.
Let's welcome our expert panel then. First of all, let's say hello to Mr. Melopedia. Gustav Darlander, welcome. Hello.
Hello. So great to be back. And yeah, I've been very busy with Melopedia for a couple of weeks here. And I hear you're enjoying it. So yeah, really happy to be back.
And I'm certainly not the only one who is enjoying it. I'm sure everybody listening has at least clicked on it once a week. I know I've been clicking on it nearly every day to help research for this. So we're always so thankful. And also, let's welcome I've now been corrected, the presenter of Sweden's biggest news podcast, Jenny Orgren. Hello.
Hello. Okay, thank you. Just humble brag there with the biggest news podcast in Sweden.
you told me before we pressed record. You almost asked me to say that.
yeah, I really did. Yeah, thanks for having me back. It's so fun to be back.
I can verify it's absolutely true what Jenny is saying. It's a great podcast.
Oh, you're so kind.
Let's chat about Saturday night then. We had the fifth heat, of course, and then the Fionn Kvåle, the new second chance or the final qualifier. So there's plenty to talk about. Jenny, should we start with the qualifiers direct to the final? Marcus Martinus with Unforgettable. I can't believe I'm going to make this joke, but was it an unforgettable performance?
Yeah, it was very, very good, actually. I will not forget about it. It was what we really thought would happen. So it was no surprise that Marcus and Martinus really won and caught all of the audience's attention and the votes from the audience.
It was a very strong way to open the show, wasn't it? You know, that staging, that huge prop that they brought on, it felt like they were in a nightclub on that stage, didn't it?
It really did. And in the beginning of the rehearsals on Thursday, I thought, how will this look on TV, and will the audience in the arena even feel that they are in the same room? But I think they open up a lot more, and so they had contact with the public.
Gustav, one of the things I always look forward to from you at the start of the week is when you tell us how many camera cuts there are going to be, so we can try and figure out what it's going to look like. And there was a lot of camera cuts. I don't know, was it the most camera cuts in one performance we've had this year? I can't quite remember.
Yeah, I wasn't prepared for the question, but yeah, I remember that it's the second most. If I remember correct, it was 88 camera cuts. And I love to hear that you like this information, because I'm working to get it. The most camera cuts was Scarlett, 104, I think. And then we had Marcus and Martinus with 88. The most ever was Oscar Schia with Human in 2016. And that was like 250 or something.
What? Is it true? Wow.
Yeah. It hurt my brain to watch that, that production.
And Gustav knew that from the top of his head. He was looking straight down the camera. He didn't even look away at any notes. I'm very impressed you knew that straight away.
Yeah. Well, what can I say?
Very impressive. So, of course, Marcus and Martinus opened the show, and then we had Medina close the show. We had them on the podcast last week, and they were telling us what it meant to be back and what they were going to bring to the show. They said the song was going to be very Medinish, is the word they used, Jenny. Did it live up to the hype for you?
Not really like in Idiman, but I love Medina, and I really think that they did a great performance, and they had all the audience with them, and it was quite nervous in the end when the voting started if they were actually going to make it to the final. But they were really, really put together, and they had the pyrotechnic. Do you say that? Yeah. And the dancers and the bike, very strange thing with the bike. I really don't understand, because it was kind of messy on the stage, but they kept it together and they delivered a great performance. So I'm not surprised that they actually went to the final in the end.
Yeah, I was watching with my brother, and he said, imagine having to be the person who rode the bike on the stage. That's probably one of the most nerve-wracking things to do.
Yes, I think so too.
Gustav, a tremendous result as well for duos generally on Saturday night, because it was the two duos in the competition who both went through to the final.
Yeah, that was, stats-wise, maybe the most interesting thing of the night, because it has never happened in the history of Melodifestivalen that two duos or duets have made it through to the final from a heat. And actually, last time, none of the two qualifiers was a solo artist, was back in 2013, so more than 10 years ago. There was the third heat with Ravajax and State of Drama. So we have to go back to like 2008 to find something similar. Then we had Frida featuring Headline, and we had BWO, which is a trio, not a duo. And the other was a featuring act. But it was like, okay, we had five artists, but now we had four. We never had that before. So it was a bit special. They found the right way to package that that duo act in both cases.
In terms of Medina, again, though, Jenny, just a great way to close the show. There's always this anticipation about what is the final song going to be in all of the heats. Often we think SVT are going to put what they think might be the winner. I think they might have drifted away from that now. But a wonderful way to sort of close out all of those heats, wasn't it?
It really was. It was party, and you saw all the audience in the arena was dancing, and it really closed. I mean, I think it was quite... This year has been quite boring with the songs. I'm not... at all amazed of the songs that we have heard this year, and I think the final is quite boring actually, but we can come to that later. But ending it with Medina and that party, it was 5 stars.
I was wondering how long it would take for Jenny to become negative. Jenny returns to the podcast.
Hello, here I am again.
Let's talk about the two songs then that went to the new qualifying round. Annika Vikihalder, who for me throughout the week and throughout rehearsals sort of went under the radar. I don't know if you think the same, Jenny.
I think actually exactly the same, because when I saw the rehearsals on Thursday, it was like, I'm going to fall asleep now, or maybe I will go to the bathroom while she sings. But then yesterday when I saw it, it was like, this is another song. This is another performance, because she did a great performance and she sang like she had never sung before, and it was a great performance. I really liked what she did, and I can really understand why the elderly audience in Sweden really, really liked her so much and voted for her yesterday.
And Gustav, she had a Melfest winning songwriter on the song as well, didn't she?
It's Patrick Schaan and Herman Gardarbe, who won in 2020 with the Mamas. I think it was exactly like Jenny says, she really performed that song in a brilliant way, really impressive for a debutante, and it probably was the biggest excitement of the night to see if she would overtake Medina and take that second qualification spot to the final already from the heat.
You mentioned the voting there. It was very tense, wasn't it, Jenny? We touched on it a little bit before as well, because I think going into it, did you think the same as me, that Medina were just going to pick up almost all of the 12 points and they would sail straight through? But it was very dramatic in the end, wasn't it?
It was really dramatic, and I was really surprised, because the first voter group was my voter group, and I was pissed off my voting group for voting for Jay Smith. And I was like, what are you thinking? It's not a party song. We need some party in the final. So I was quite surprised. I think that the other voting group was for Medina. They got the 12 for the second round. So then I was like, okay, now they are coming. Or if it was Annika Vikihalder, it was very, very, what do you say?
Dramatic.
Dramatic. Tense. So I was like, yes. Wow, what's going to happen? Medina has to go to the final.
So did you not like Jay Smith then? You mentioned him there. Did you not like him? Or was it just the fact that you wanted some party in the final?
Well, I want party in the final, and I think that Jay Smith is a really, really good singer. And I mean, he had his sister, who is from the very, very famous pop duo Smith and Tell, and she can really write songs, so they could have written him something even better, I think.
Gustav, Jenny mentioned there the song was written by his sister, Smith and Tell, together. And his sister joined him on stage as well. We didn't think that was going to happen. We just thought she was going to help write the song. But she ended up as an offstage backup singer, didn't she?
Yeah, exactly. She was an offstage backing singer. And some fans have said that, wow, maybe this is one step closer to Smith and Tell actually taking on the stage of Melodifestivalen. And eventually the entry got position 2 in the running order of the final. So maybe that points to that it will not win, at least number 2 hasn't won.
Jenny, would you like to see Smith and Tell do Melodifestivalen as an artist in the future?
I think that would be great to have. I mean, I think we kind of struggle a bit with year after year after year using the same artist. Now this year we have more debutants than we have ever had in a very, very long time. But I think that the returning artists are the ones that we've been seeing before. Lisa Ajax, Liamo, Dotter, Danny Saucedo, and so on. So I think that we should really have to work, as SVT really, really needs to work to get some of the other big artists in Sweden to try to get them into the competition. Because that's what we saw now with the Fröken Snusk, how popular she has been, and with her hit song is number one in Sweden. And so that has been kind of great for Melodifestivalen to have a completely different artist than we have seen before. So I think that if Smith and Tell would show up, it would be great.
And Gustav, what Jenny was mentioning there about debutantes and their success this year, I think we've only had one who got a place direct to the final, haven't we, throughout the heat?
Let me see.
Sorry, I keep putting you on the spot, Gustav.
you keep asking me spontaneous questions. we had Jacqueline, who's a debutante, and that's the only one. So as we said, when I was in Memphis Monday last time, it's very rare that debutantes go straight to the final from the heats. But from the final qualification round, it's far more common. And indeed, we did see Annika Vicky-Halder and Jay Smith proceed from the final qualification round to make it a total of three debutantes in the final now. So that will bring it more balanced overall, I guess. And this has always been a virtue of the final qualification round.
But I think it's going to be very interesting to see how Jacqueline does in the final, because she won her heat and she's a debutante. So she has all the things to, you know, make it to the top five anyway, because what we see in results earlier years is that if you end up second in your heat, it's not very likely that you win Melodifestivalen. So it will be interesting to see if we have a debutante to win. Has that happened since, you know, like Carola 1983?
Debutante, we did see the Mamas, they were technically debutantes. Ooh. And Franz before that, yes, also debutante. So it has happened a number of times. But I want to add there that there's been a big discussion about if you finish number two in the heat, you can't win. But we have seen one occasion from the second chance, of course, winning, but also three occasions from the second chance finishing second, which is really close to winning. And that's not even finishing second in the heat. So it could be that it's more of a coincidence that we haven't seen someone finishing number two in the heat and to win for such a long time. And also, we technically don't know if they would have been number two in the heats with the old system. So in like 20% of the cases, the entry finishing being the first finalist in the current system would have been second in the old system, something like this. So there are a degree of freedom here that we could look at.
There's so much for us to consider. This is what I love about it. There's always something, there's always another element for us to touch on. Shall we chat about the final qualifying round then? Because I was watching it on a little bit of a delay, I think about 30 minutes of a delay. And when it finished, I went online and there was a lot of talk about it, about whether it was a good thing or a bad thing, whether people liked the change or not. I did ask for people to get in touch with some of their thoughts. I'll read some of them out now and then we can talk about it. So Grace on Twitter said, I want them to go back to the standard duel show, hands down the most entertaining show format out of the past three ways. We also had Cuz, who said, to put it politely, any format that leaves a number one single lying on the table is flawed. It's a reference to Fröken Snusk, I'm sure, Gustav. Dean said, I think the format was as good as the quality of the songs this year. We can take that one way or another, I guess. But then Bruce, he got in touch and said, I liked it. Andra Hansson and the semi-final always felt like a filler week. This runoff was decent. I doubt people would be complaining as much, if at all, if their favourites made it through. So some different kind of thoughts there. Jenny, did it work?
No, it really didn't. It was really exciting because it was very dramatic and everything. But I think it was kind of unjust and unfair to the all of the songs that has qualified in the other 4 weeks. If you hadn't watched Melodifestivalen through these 4 weeks, and this is the first time you put on Melodifestivalen this year, and you see 40 seconds of every song, except for the two that actually competed in Heat 5, then it's very, very different to see a song in 40 seconds and get your own opinion, and also had the time to vote for it, and also in comparison to see those Jay Smith and Annika Vicky Halder live, once live and then two snabbrepriser, recap. So it's kind of unjust, and I think that is going to be a very big critic for SVT to handle this week, and to, you know, think about how they are going to do it next year.
Gustav, obviously we've mentioned you do work for SVT, and you're not here necessarily to defend the decision or anything like that, but it's good to have you here to try and add some context to it, because the way they've done it this year is obviously very different to what we've seen in the past, because it was not a standalone show.
Yeah, exactly. To make it part of a week with new songs is something that has been felt to be very important from SVT's perspective, because to get a lot of viewers to go to the show, you need new songs or the final. This has been the analysis, you have really seen the viewing figures drop like 25% or something for this second chance week, or final round of qualifications week. So the problem here is, does this format with new songs that go straight to the final qualification round mean that these songs have a big upside? And this has always been a big discussion during this year's Melodifestival and in the media. So potentially you could think that this could be a running order on steroids. You know, the running order is important in the baseline scenario in any song contest. And here you have a running order where you have, like, the other songs were weeks before, and now you have two songs that you've just heard. It could potentially be a running order on steroids. But this has to be something for the internal analysis. The project manager of Melodifestivalen, Anders Wistbacke, said that actually Annika Vicky Halder and Jay Smith had a huge amount of votes on the night compared to the entries ending at number three and number four the other weeks. It could be that they would have advanced anyway. I think it boils down to, it seems that Annika Vicky Halder certainly would have advanced, because she really made a strong impression. So it boils down to Jay Smith versus Fröken Snusk, I suppose, for that last spot.
And I think what made it really dramatic was the fact that in the end, that Jay Smith and Fröken Snusk both got the same amount of points in that second round of voting. I guess it mightn't have been as dramatic if that hadn't have happened, Gustav.
Yeah, and since they got the same amount of points, the number of exact votes that they got on the Saturday night was the tiebreaker rule, as it usually is in Melodifestivalen. SVT said that this will be something that they will analyze very closely.
Yeah, I guess they can't make that decision overnight, it's fair to say. Jenny, do you think whoever would have been in Heat 5 and got a place in the final qualifying round, do you think they would have gotten through, whoever would have got through that Heat 5?
It's impossible to say, but really, I think it's a favor to be in Heat 5 and at the same time be in this new final kvalet. So I really think so. I think they had an advantage of being in the Heat number 5, actually.
And we've talked about Fröken Snusk quite a lot, because she's really popular, especially online, especially for younger audiences. For SVT, I guess they might feel like they've kind of lost out by not having her in the final, Jenny, because she would bring in a huge portion of an audience, wouldn't she?
She really would. And as I discussed with my colleague Toby Ek earlier today, we said that SVT is really getting to be an older show. It's an older channel for older people to watch. It's like 60 plus that's watching. So they need to capture the younger audiences. So they need the younger kids from 10 to 30 to watch their show. And with Fröken Snusk out of the game, who are they going to vote for here? Also, I mean, of course, there are other songs they will vote for, but I think that Fröken Snusk really, you know, kind of took in a different kind of audience. So it's very sad for SVT that Fröken Snusk now isn't in the final, because that had also been a bit of a crazy thing in the final to happen with her in there.
If you were to choose a final qualifying format, Jenny, what would you choose? Would you choose the one we had on Saturday? Would you bring back the duels? What do you think makes the best television?
No,
or would you get rid of it entirely?
I would get rid of it entirely. I think that the audience has already said its thing when they say that these two songs we want in the finals. These other two songs we didn't like as much. So they will not vote for them really in the final. Make it five heats and then a final, but nothing in between there. So they have like five heats and then the final.
There are so many different aspects to think about here. So it is always like upsides and downsides with different solutions. We have indeed seen throughout the years songs that needed this second chance, like Felix Sandman, Every Single Day, and so on, that people like didn't vote for very much at all when they saw it the first time, and then they needed to listen to it a couple of times. So this has always been the idea behind this format, and it was introduced in the first iteration in 2002. So there are upsides with it too, but it's really challenging to find a really good way to handle it. I personally liked the concept that we had from 2007 and a couple of years onwards, when there were duels, and you had four duels, and then you had the semifinals with two more duels, and then you had two songs that advanced. It was just contest, and it felt like a bloodbath, and it was good TV. so that was, but you know, there are problems with duels too as a format. So yeah, it's difficult.
It is very difficult. And what they're trying to do is obviously make good television. And they're not necessarily going to get a winner from this second chance or final qualifier. Maybe they're going to get a wider variety of songs in the final, so we do get a more eclectic final. But safe to say, we've got a lot more time to discuss this over the next few weeks and months before Melfest returns. Anyway, Jenny, Gustav, stay right there. We look ahead to the final of Melfest right after this.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Your home for everything Melodifestivalen. This is Melfest Monday.
Welcome back to Melfest Monday from us here at the Eurotrip. We love it when you get in touch. We are at Eurotrip Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can email us hello@eurotrippodcast.com, and you can also drop us a message if you head over to Buy Me a Coffee. That's what Andy did when he bought us 3 coffees. Andy said, "Great listening as always. Melfest Monday always helps me with my Monday car trips to work." Well, thanks, Andy. You can do the same by heading to buymeacoffee.com. We'd be ever so grateful. Now then, time for the Melfest Monday Hall of Fame. Last week, Rob and I were looking to find Sweden's best third place at the Eurovision Song Contest, pitting winners against each other. I think we may have done in the past, and Sweden have only come second once in their history, hence why we chose third place. I chose Erik Sade's Popular from 2011, and Rob chose Den Wilders One More Time from 1996. And for the second week in a row, I only went and won, didn't I? Thanks to 55% of you choosing Erik Sade when we put it to a poll on Twitter. Now, we have one final category on this series, and it is a biggie. It might even cause an international crisis when you find out what it is, because we are looking for Loreen's best Eurovision song. It's probably a conversation you've had amongst some of your fellow Melfest and Eurovision friends over the last 12 months or so. It is a difficult choice, isn't it? Let's see which corner Rob is in.
Hello, James. Hello, everyone. It is, of course, as James has already said, the last Melfest Monday Hall of Fame of the year. Best Loreen songs at Eurovision. Yes, Tattoo's good. Yes, it's great. Yes, it's probably one of the best winners ever. But is it as iconic as Loreen's first win at Eurovision? Let's go to Baku. Let's go to Azerbaijan in 2012. We all know where we were. We can all remember the first time we heard that song and saw it on the Eurovision stage. So my submission for best Loreen song at Eurovision has got to be Euphoria. James, thank you for a brilliant series of Melfest Monday. I know we've still got the grand final reaction episode to come next week, but it's been a pleasure listening along this year. So thank you very much. Just a shame you're going to lose the Hall of Fame.
Well, understandably, that then leaves me with Tattoo. I say it leaves me with Tattoo. I'm certainly not unhappy with that choice. I guess it's more modern. It's fresher. Euphoria has had its time. So let's show Tattoo some love. It's over to you now, Euphoria or Tattoo. Head over to our Twitter, at Eurotrip Podcast. There will be a poll that will go live at some point on Monday, and it'll be live all week for you to cast your vote.
Your home for everything Melodifestivalen. This is Melfest Monday.
Let's focus on the final now then. Gustav and Jenny will be back with us very shortly, but why don't we chat to two of the finalists? In a moment, we'll welcome Adam, the frontman of Smash Into Pieces, back onto the podcast. But first, it is a huge welcome to Maria Sir, making her first appearance on Melfest Monday. She debuted last year, less than 12 months after she was forced to leave her home country of Ukraine. She performed Never Give Up and finished 9th in the final. This year, though, she's back with a song that she says is much more of her own style. She took part in Heat Number 2 a few weeks ago with When I'm Gone, and it went direct to the final. This is what happened when Rob sat down with Maria a couple of days ago.
Maria, sir, welcome to Melfest Monday.
Thank you so much.
Maria, you are in the Melfest final for the second year in a row. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. I'm feeling great. I'm feeling awesome. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great because this year I'm having a song that I feel like more my song. So I'm feeling great.
How enjoyable is it to perform your entry this year? Because it looks like you are having an incredible time on the stage. The staging as well is amazing. The performance is so like eye-catching and striking. So how much fun are you having out there? Because as you said, it feels more like your song this year than last year, of course.
Yeah, I think I think people can see that, because on stage I'm really enjoying, even though the performance really intense. Like, it's so much to do on stage and so much things to think about. Like, it's dancing, it's a singing, it's like cameras, it's feelings, it's so much things to think about. But I really love that, and I mean, this is just my environment, I feel like. And I'm really just, you know, I just, before I go on stage, like in my detailing, in my competition, I was just let it go, everything, and just enjoy on stage. Like, now this is your time. I can do just only my best on stage. I can give my all. I can do my best. I can't influence to results, you know. So, like, my mission is to do a great performance. And for me, it's very important that people will love that and people can feel something.
You must be so pleased with the reaction that you've had after your heat as well. You know, you have had fans, not just in Sweden, but fans around the world saying, Marissa has to go to Eurovision. She has to represent Sweden this year. Like, that must be so nice as an artist to, you know, finish performing, you're through, and then you go on social media and you see all this support as well.
Yes, like, I'm so grateful that people really like it. And it means then that I'm doing, like, I'm on the right way, you know. And it feels like so blessed that people loves it and that I get so much support. Like, I'm so happy and so grateful. And, like, yeah, we'll see. But, you know, if I made people love it and if I made people to feel something, so then this is already great. And it's something that's important and something that makes sense of it, you know.
You mentioned it a little bit earlier on, but how much have you learnt from obviously competing in Mello last year? How much do you feel like you have come on as an artist? Do you feel like your ideas are heard a bit more? Like, how much have you learnt from obviously this being your second year?
I feel like I've grown up so much, like, just in 1 year. I don't know if it's because of that or it's just in general because of Sweden and me being here as an artist in this industry and learning so much every day. But I feel like I've grown up, and this thing that I learned last year, it's to really enjoy and enjoy the moment and just, you know, to just have this nice feeling after. Because usually, you know, like, it's personally with me, I don't know, but personally with me, when I'm thinking so much about result and, like, you know, about that, it's not good for me. Like, I'm focused on something not that right to be focused for me. Like, it's better to focus on the performance and to just, you know, do my best and give my all. And then, like, you know, results not in my hands.
You're probably not going to be able to tell me, but are there any changes to the performance for the grand final?
But I mean, I can tell that because it's, we're very happy with the performance and with the staging, and there's not going to be so much big changes in the final. I had an idea, to be honest. I wanted to bring this idea to the final, but unfortunately, we're not allowed to do this.
Can you tell us what the idea was?
Yeah, I wanted to do a dance break.
Oh, what, like a Chanel at Eurovision, that kind of thing?
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
But that's not happening.
Unfortunately, it's not happening because, like, we're not allowed because of the rules, and, you know, we're not allowed to change, like, the timing of the song.
Maybe you'll get to do the dance break when you perform it after Mello. Maybe. At another time. Last question from me. How much would it mean to you to represent your new adopted nation, of course, of Sweden at Eurovision?
Well, it would be such an honor, and it would be such an amazing moment in my life. But I also think that it would be an amazing moment for both my favorite countries as in Ukraine and Sweden, because, I mean, it would be historical because I would represent Sweden, still being my identification, like, as an Ukrainian. But, you know, as right now, it would be show so much connections between these two countries, I think, and it would show so much, like, supporting from Sweden. I see this in this kind of perspective. So, like, it would be such an historical moment to, you know, like, as a face of these two countries. I mean, both of these countries mean so much to me and means so much to me in my life. So it would be a great moment.
The power of the yellow and blue.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
Maria, thank you so much for chatting and good luck in the Malfest final.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Maria is just so much fun. I'd love to see that dance break version of When I'm Gone as well. I'm sure you would love to see it as well. Maybe we'll see it at some point over the next few weeks and months. Now though, let's welcome back Smash Into Pieces onto the podcast. We spoke to frontman Adam on the first episode of the series as the band were ready to return to the competition a year after their debut, where they finished third in the final. I caught up with Adam a few days ago when he was on board a ship, believe it or not, heading to one of their live shows last week. They are, in fact, in the middle of a tour as we speak. But this is what happened when we caught up, and I started by asking Adam what their heat was like a few weeks ago.
Well, we kind of knew the production. You know, we were there last year, so we knew all the people, so it felt like a family gathering. It was nice to be back, and last time it was more tension, I guess, because it was a totally new format for us to be a part of. This time we kind of knew how things were going to go, and as I said, we knew all the production people, and so the aim for this time was more like to have fun.
And did you have fun?
Yeah, I had really much fun, and also my family was with me. They were sitting kind of in the front row. And so I did a little, you know, hand gesture. So, yeah, felt good.
What was the moment like when you were announced as that first qualifier? Because that must be the moment where you think, phew, we've done it. We've done our job. What is that moment like when Karina shouts out, smash into pieces?
Like last time, I was prepared for someone else's name to be called out. So, and you can actually see that. If you go back and watch the SVT,
the footage of it, yeah.
Yeah, the footage, you can actually see me being really like, there's a lot of question marks in my reaction. So I was, honestly, I thought that Adam was going to win, Adam Woods.
And I loved what they've done this year, where you perform your song again, but you get to perform it in and amongst the crowd. That must have been a cool moment to be like right there with the crowd rather than right up on the stage.
Yeah, the funny thing was I wasn't really prepared for that.
Did you not know you had to do that?
They talked about it.
Right.
But they didn't really rehearse the thing with us first. So I remember I got the microphone in my ear system and they were like, follow that camera. And I was like, well, where is the camera? So I was kind of lost there, but it turned out fine. I actually think that performance was even better because it felt really much like more connected.
You've done a very good job as a band, as Smash Into Pieces, because you're I don't know if you know this, you are the first band in Melfest history to go to the final twice for 20 years. A band hasn't done that since 2003, believe it or not. That must be a good, you know, a satisfying thing to know now.
Well, it's kind of cool to set records, I guess. But do you know which act it was 20 years ago?
It was the band Barbados.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Magnus Carlsson.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
You can go and tell the rest of the band now and they can be as amazed as you are. So give us an idea about what happens between now and the final then. Have you been making any changes to that live performance or is it literally just going to be copy and paste from what we saw in that first show?
Well, we have some changes because afterwards we understood that people really didn't understand that APOC was with us during the show. So we wanted to bring him in more into the final. And but we have a quite few changes, and as always, we're aiming for, you know, to develop and change, adapt, and try to, I guess, polish a little bit on everything we do. So yeah, there's going to be a few changes.
I don't know if you've caught up with any of the other shows. I don't know if you've seen any of the other performances from anybody else who's going to be in the final. But now you know who else is in there. Have you sort of set yourself a level of what you want to achieve in the final?
We always want to showcase what Smash in the Pieces are. And in my world, we have already won because of that statement you made about us being the first band to make it into the finals twice. We're always competing with ourselves. We're not competing with anyone else. And I think that's the most constructive way you can kind of live your life. I mean, we're always working really hard, but we're not really, because we've done this for 16 years, you know, we didn't have anything in the start of our career, and we worked so hard for everything, and we've gone through everything together as a band, and here we are. So let's do a good showcase, and if people like it, they like it. But I've already won.
The Melfest final is just one show in many, because you are going to be going all across Europe and US after this as well, because you've on a huge tour.
Yeah, we're actually now on our Swedish tour. So we're just grinding all the time, and my girlfriend and my son is not really happy about that, but my life, I guess.
That's like the life of a rock musician. It's totally rock and roll, totally rock and roll. Adam, thank you so much for your time. I will let you go and enjoy this boat trip and enjoy the show tonight. And I wish you the very best of luck for the Melfest final yet again.
Thank you.
A big thanks to Adam there from Smash Into Pieces, and of course Maria Sir, who we heard from before that. Now, Jenny and Gustav have returned. We are going to look ahead to the final in full. Jenny, would you like to take us through the running order for Saturday night?
First out is Maria Sur, When I'm Gone. Number two, Jay Smith, Back to My Roots. Number three, Lisa Ajax, Awful Liar. Number four, Smash Into Pieces, Heroes Are Calling. Number five, Cassiopeia, Give My Heart a Break. Number six, Annika Wickehalder, Light. Number seven, Marcus och Martinus, Unforgettable. Number eight, Dotter, It's Not Easy to Write a Love Song. Number nine, Medina, Que Sera. Number 10, Liamo Dragon. Number 11, Jacqueline Effortless. And finally, number 12, Danny Saucedo, Happy That You Found Me.
Wonderful stuff, Jenny. Thank you for thank you. Battling through that, because you have to do like double what everyone else has done over the past few weeks. Everyone's had to do six and then you've done 12.
Yeah. So. It was a bit sweaty, but it is fun.
Who is happy then, Jenny, with that running order draw?
Yeah, absolutely Maria Sur. And I think also Marcus and Martinus and Danny Saucedo.
So why do you think Maria Sir would be happy to open the show? Because she's early on. Obviously, she is the first one on stage, and I guess people will remember her for being the first on. But is it not better to be late on, Jenny?
Maybe sometimes, but not all the time. And I think it's a great start, and she sets the tone of the whole final of Melodifestivalen and everything else that will be coming after, because she has a really great and very nice looking number. So everything that comes after, everyone will compare with that.
Forgive me, please, because I'm going to put you on the spot again. But do you happen to have any stats on what it is like to open a final of Melody Festival?
Yeah, definitely. When it comes to the running order, I would say that Jacqueline could also be said to be quite happy at number 11 there. Mm. To open isn't bad. It's of course, if you look at the statistics for the final in Melodifestivalen, it's the same pattern that you always see for the running order in every song contest. It's that number one isn't terrible, and then number two has the weakest overall result, and then it's a little better with number three, a little better again with number four, and so on. So it's basically the same in the final, but maybe not as pronounced in the heat. At least we would have expected to be more pronounced in the heat, because we expect that people already found a favorite in many cases before the final, and they stick to that. But also people vote during the show, and then they vote on the emotional impression that they get from watching the show. But the, generally, of course, with the running order, it's just basic behavioral psychology that first and last is a focus position that you make more notice of. And then if you vote late, for example, after you heard all the songs, then you will have a bigger impression from what you have seen lately.
I've got to pick you up on something that you mentioned, because I think perhaps for international viewers who don't vote, of course, you might not know this, but you can vote before the show has started. You can vote before you've actually seen the performances.
Yeah, you can vote from 7 in the evening. This is like a small tweak. I expect that there are not a lot of votes coming in at that time. But actually, this is a bigger discussion. But the project manager of Melodifestivalen said this season that the voting application for Melodifestivalen is not a voting application in the perspective of the project management. It's an engagement application. It's an application to make the viewers engage with the show, because from SVT, finding the best Eurovision result is secondary. Primary is to find the best Melodifestivalen show for the Swedish people.
We spoke to Karin Gunnarsson, one of the producers of the show, a few weeks ago here on the podcast, and she told us that one of the big aims is to win Eurovision again, to win it back to back. Jenny, which of these 12 songs do you think would stand the best chance of winning the Eurovision Song Contest?
Of these 12 songs, I can't mention the one I am so disappointed of is not in the final. Okay, so...
You've got to tell us that then.
Well,
you can't tease us with that.
I think that Scarlett with Circus X had the greatest chance in Eurovision this year, because that is a kind of a performance and song that people in Eurovision like. So I think that, but now I think maybe Medina could, we could try to send something that's completely different than we usually send, because we always send the nicest looking best song. We're obsessed with that. We can never send something crazy, which like, you know, like Norway or Finland has done some years. We never do that, and it's quite boring. It could be this year we should do it, because I don't think we have the possibility to win Eurovision this year.
And it would be in Swedish. And Gustav, when did that last happen?
In the Swedish was 1998. Finland sang in Swedish in 2012, but Sweden last sang in Swedish in 98, when it was the last year before the language was let free in Eurovision. There are a lot of statistics about songs in Swedish in the Melodifestivalen final, if you're interested.
Absolutely, Gustav, because we've just got the one, right?
We have one out of 12, which is Medina, and they mix in some French and Spanish there too. So that's the only Swedish language song, and this is actually the lowest that we have ever had, tied with a couple of other years, actually with 2019 and 2020. It means that we had a conversion from the heats of Swedish language songs from 33% to 8%. We had 10 Swedish language songs out of 30, and now we just have one out of 12. So that goes from 33% to 8%. If you look at the statistics here, there is a shift that happened sometime during the noughties, where we had a transition from Schlager to pop music. Last time when we had a majority of songs in Swedish in the Melodifestivalen final was in 2005. English was allowed in the contest from 2002. So after a couple of years, it started to shift. And you can see really clearly that like, we had 7 songs in Swedish out of 10 in 2004. And it like kind of drops kind of quickly. We had 3 in 2008. And then it was suddenly 2 out of 10. That's 20%. Actually, for every year from 2009 to 2014, then we got 12 songs in the final. We also had 12 songs in, we had 11 songs in 2009 for the record, but then we got 12 songs in 2015. Then we actually had 4 songs in Swedish, but then 2, 2, 2, 2, 1, 1. And then we went up 3, 3, 3, and now we're back at 1.
Well, I'm glad you've brought it all up, because I think I've been wanting to have this conversation almost all of this series, but we've never quite found the right time. Jenny, what is it like as a Swedish viewer of Melfest when most of the songs that we're going to get in that final aren't actually in your own language? I know a lot of people in Sweden can speak English, but when they're not actually in your native language, what is that actually like?
I haven't really thought about it, actually, because we're so used to it now that it's in English. So I haven't thought about it, actually. But and maybe because so many of us in Sweden actually speak English the way that we do. So, and also because we always want to win Eurovision. We always want to send the best song, and that has to be in English. That's in our heads, and it's in the DNA. Maybe we should try to change it.
Can I squeeze in another observation regarding this? Because Sweden, more than 100 years ago, Sweden used to be poor. And then the world wars happened, and Sweden kind of made a very, very fast transition from being poor to being rather wealthy, and was the front runner among countries in the world, maybe in the 60s, and felt like we're the most modern country in the world. And that was the complete zeitgeist in Sweden. And I think it's related to this that we are still very trend sensitive. We're looking to the future, not to our history. And we are looking at like which is the cultural superpower in the world setting the trends, the United States. They are talking English. We are singing in English in our pop music. It has something like this could explain a part of this.
It's fascinating. I feel like somebody needs to write a paper about this, like a PhD about Swedish culture and Swedish language. Jenny, you wanted to jump in.
Yeah, I just think also that we sung in Swedish in the Eurovision for so long, for so many years. That's why we finally can sing in English, and finally the other people in Europe can understand what we are saying. So maybe that's also one explanation to why we like to have our songs in English.
Let's get back to the final, at least, anyway. I know that was a great chat, but we have to talk about the final more, don't we? Marcus and Martinez, then. They do appear, Jenny, to be the out-and-out favourites at the moment, don't they?
Yes, they do. And how fun and how nice wouldn't it be if Sweden actually voted for Norway in the Swedish Melody Festival? And I would love it. And it would be so great to send Marcus and Martinez.
Yeah, they were the best fully foreign act ever last year, tied with Arja Saijonmaa in 1987. So if they win, they will be the best fully foreign act ever in Melody Festival in history. You know, the times are changing, and probably the time is ripe. It could happen. If you look at the odds, they are massive, absolutely massive frontrunners to win this. It's like Loreen level odds at this point. And also it's kind of interesting because when Norway last hosted in 2010, they sent a song by Fredrik Kjempe, the Swedish songwriter, My Heart Is Yours by Didrik Solitangen. And if we would now send a Norwegian act with Swedish songwriters, though, it would be kind of the other way around and kind of, thank you, we're paying back.
It's a nice it's a nice full circle moment, isn't it? It would be interesting, wouldn't it? Jenny, let's chat about Danny Saucedo, because he seemed to be one of the big talking points before the competition this year. We then saw him on stage, and I feel like we talked about this last week. We felt maybe a little bit underwhelmed by his performance a little bit. It didn't seem like a full Danny Saucedo performance like we're used to.
No, I totally agree with you. I was quite disappointed both with the song and both with the performances, where the most exciting thing that happens is that the thing that falls down in the end. And so I think it was, and I think it's a bit sad that SVT will close with Danny's song, because I think that I understand that they can't end with Medina once again, but I think it would have been better with a different song in the end. I mean, I think people anyway kind of liked Danny's song and is going to vote for it, but I don't think he will win.
What if he adds some dances or some pyrotechnics? Do you think that would help at all, or is that just not even worth it?
No, he's not going to be able to add something this late, will he, Gustav?
No, it wouldn't be possible. There was a rumor, I have absolutely no idea, so I'm free to speculate here, that he was scaling down his act kind of intentionally in the heat with the self-confidence that he would advance to the final anyway, and then he would surprise everyone with adding a lot of stuff for the final to make it as it was supposed to be. That would be the greatest thing ever. So funny if it actually happened. I have no idea.
Shall we chat about Jimmy Joga? I love chatting about Jimmy Joga because I think he is spectacular. I think he's a great songwriter, clearly by his recent record, but he does get a lot of flack for whatever reason. Gustav, just give us a bit of detail about him, because I think we spoke to you at this time last year about his incredible record, and he's almost done it again. What is it, 5 out of 6 songs in Melfest this year he's gotten to the final?
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's important to put this in some historical context, because he's really writing history here. This is, of course, he's an internationally successful songwriter. He's written for acts such as One Direction, Jennifer Lopez, Lady Gaga, Pitbull, and so on. And he has, as you said, he had 5 of his songs in the final. Now he's 12 songs in the final, so he took part in 5 of them. But he has also, like no other songwriter has ever had more than 4 songs in the final. And he had 6 last year, now he has 5. So like, it's not like we see this every year. And during the last 4 years, he has written 18 songs out of the 48 songs that we have seen in the final. So that's more than 1/3 he has contributed to of the final entries. During his total Melodifestivalen career, he only had 24 songs. And out of those 24 songs, only 6 songs did not go to the final. So this is absolutely massive. And I'm laughing because I would argue we haven't seen anything like this except once. And that was with the songwriter Åke Gerhard. And he won the contest in 1958, 1959, 1960, and 1962. So 4 out of the first 5 years, he actually won them. And in the final of 1960, when they had heats, he just had 4 songs in the final, and he qualified with 3 out of his songs to that final. So he had 3 out of 4 in that final in 1960. But we are talking about those timescales when it comes to Jimmy Joker at this point.
Me and Jenny have both been sat here just shaking our heads in disbelief, because some of these statistics are just so impressive. Jenny, do you think it is a bad luck or not for Melodifestivalen that we have a songwriter who just seems to have so many successful songs? Is it a bad luck or not?
A little bit of both, actually, because I've been talking to some of my friends' kids that think that all the songs in Melodifestivalen sound kind of the same. And if we have all the same songwriters that work together, and write a lot of songs for Melodifestivalen, it will end up that way, that many songs sounds kind of alike. But I mean, with his record, it's fantastic, and he has given us the Eurovision win. I mean, we love him for that, and we love all the other songwriters as well. I mean, they do very much for Melodifestivalen and Swedish music, but I think that we need to have some new material and some new songwriters to make something happen with Melodifestivalen.
As always, fascinating to sort of delve into those statistics, but at the end of the day, statistics will not decide the winner. It'll be the people at home, it'll be the international juries as well, and it would be wrong of me not to ask. Jenny, give me your predictions. Is it safe to say that Marcus Martinez are just going to walk away with it, or is there going to be a little bit of a battle to take home the win?
I think it's going to be a little bit of the battle, because I think that the international jury will vote for Marcus and Martinez, and then Sweden is going to be, no, we cannot send two Norwegian guys, so they will give them number 2. So they will end up as number 2 of the Swedish people. Well, I think that the international jury's votes will be so high, so Marcus and Martinus will win.
I would just say that it's always interesting with the finals when we get to see the international juries, because they are like this joker factor that comes in the final is it's kind of hard to predict. So after seeing a couple of relatively predictable heats, now we get to see something different in the final.
But Gustav, do you have a favorite during all of the Melody Festival in history? And you cannot say ABBA or Loreen or, you know, one of the obvious.
As many fans, I kind of changed my favorite because, you know, based on mood and so on. But I like this ethnic vibe. So I would say Roger Pontare with När vindarna viskar mitt namn. And also Silverland.
Oh.
I really like Silverland.
Me too. I was so disappointed when Silverland didn't reach the final.
That was such a scandal.
Yes.
Robbed.
Yes, robbed. He was robbed.
Maybe we need to do like an archive version of Melfest Monday where we just bring you two back and we can chat about Melfests from the history.
Please.
Perhaps that's probably a good idea for the summer.
Great idea.
I've been meaning to do this all episode and I've just remembered there. Gustav, I was meant to mention this the last time you were on, but Jenny, did you know this, that Gustav has a part to play in the word Melfest?
Ooh, no, I didn't.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was one of the things I've done throughout my career. I've been working with close to the show for 17 years, but this was back in the autumn of 2012 when we were going to decide on a hashtag for Melodifestivalen. And people were writing like Melodifestivalen 2011, and so on Twitter and everywhere. And this wasn't... we wanted something to bring the conversation into one place. And then we had a discussion, should we have Mel and then the year, or should we have Melfest? I think those were the two. And I said like, no, we need Melfest, come on. I don't know really who came up with the idea, but it was really natural. Maybe it was me or someone else. It was me and Thomas Hall and also Mirja Bokholm, who was working on the website at that time. And then we put it out on Twitter. Do you want Mel and then the year, or do you want Melfest? And thankfully, they voted Melfest. And since then, we've had Melfest. And then we had like Bloomberg and stuff writing articles and just calling the show consistently Melfest, naming the show Melfest instead of Melodifestivalen. It's good. It's shorter. And also, I think Mellow doesn't sound good in English. So I would recommend all the English-speaking viewers to say Melfest instead.
Thanks for
that. There you go, Jenny.
Gustav.
I bet you didn't know that before.
No, I didn't know that. And thank you for that. It was great to have something different also than just Mellow.
You're welcome.
Oh, Jenny, Gustav, thank you so much for your time today. And most importantly, enjoy the show on Saturday night.
You too. And thanks for having me.
Thank you so much.
Nice to talk to you, Gustav.
Well, there we are then. Hopefully you are up to speed on the final of Melodifestivalen 2024. Just one more show to come and we will know who is representing Sweden at the Eurovision Song Contest in Malmö this year. On home soil, of course. Another home entry for Sweden. Who do you think is going to win? Is it a foregone conclusion for Marcus Martinez, or is somebody else going to come along and steal the crown? Do let us know. We'd love to hear from you. Do get in touch at Eurotrip Podcast across Twitter, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can email us as well, hello@eurotrippodcast.com. And don't forget, over on our Twitter as well, that poll to decide ultimately what is Loreen's best Eurovision song. It's a very difficult question to answer. I forgive you if you just have to close your eyes and press on one of them on the screen in front of you. But we will be back in a week's time for the final of Melfest Monday, the final episode of the series, where we will be debriefing and digesting everything from the final and deciding just how much of a chance Sweden has to win Eurovision for a record 8th time. As well, we'll be back on Wednesday for your regular episode of the Eurotrip, rounding up everything from the world of the Eurovision Song Contest. In the meantime, though, don't forget to subscribe, leave us a review, and rate us 5 stars. From me, James, it's goodbye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays.
Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.